Senator Dick Durbin's joining us on the line this morning. Good morning, Senator.
How you doing, Tom?
Good, except for the winter storm watch, but everything else is all right. Hey, I'm just curious personally about something. Are you coming for J.B. Pritzker's inaugural celebration on Monday back home?
I am. Okay. I'm looking forward to it. I do have to tell you that because of this government shutdown out here, if there is a critical vote or something on Monday, I may have to change my plans. But if not, I hope to be there for the inaugural.
Yeah, I was on the phone yesterday evening with Carroll Mayor Tyrone Coleman. Said he was going to be going. I just got an invitation, so... More and more people saying they're going to be there. But, of course, yesterday, you know, I watched you walk out of the White House. I heard what Senator Schumer, when Representative Pelosi said, but I didn't hear what Senator Durbin thought about the meeting.
It was 17 minutes, Tom. I mean, here we are facing, we're in the midst of a government shutdown, one of the longest in history. There are 800,000 federal workers affected who won't receive a paycheck this weekend. Half of them have to show up for work anyway. So they're working on the promise that they will be paid, and history says they will, ultimately. But for many of these individuals and their families, there's a real hardship. You know, like most American working families, many of them live paycheck to paycheck. And so if they don't get a paycheck, problems arise. How am I going to make that mortgage payment? How am I going to pay daycare for the kids? Can I fill up my car with gas to go back and forth to work? You know, just some basic things that workers have to negotiate every single day in their lives. And these folks, through no fault of their own, are going to have a pretty tough weekend.
When it comes to the border wall, I read your comments from the press release after the presidential address earlier in the week. And one of the lines in your press says, Democrats support strong border security. Can you give me an example of a plan for border security that Democrats would support, that you would like to offer the president and hope he supports? We're talking about not a wall here.
You bet. And what I did was bring in the fellow who's the head of Customs and Border Protection. His name's McAleenan. He's been around through presidents of both parties. I said to him, I hand you a blank check. Make our southern border safer. What would you spend it on? He said, technology and personnel. For example, we're facing the worst drug epidemic in the history of the United States. The life expectancy of Americans is going down because so many people are dying of opioid, heroin, fentanyl death. And many of those drugs are coming right across the border. They aren't coming in backpacks over the walls or, you know, through the desert. They're coming in trucks and cars and railroad cars. We have a device that can scan, literally x-ray these vehicles before they come in the U.S. to see if they're hiding contraband, weapons, people, narcotics. And he said, currently we are scanning fewer than 1 out of 5 of the vehicles coming in the U.S. We should scan them all. I said, I agree. How much would it cost? He said, $300 million. Now, put that in the context of a $5 billion or $25 billion request from the president. So for this senator, first dollar spent to make the border safer and to slow down the flow of narcotics into America is going to be for technology. Let's use this technology and make us safer. I'll bet you I could get every Democrat and Republican to vote for it.
You know, a lot of people saying this is not a crisis in a world where almost everything depicted as a crisis, and we're talking about the wall, specifically immigration, not the shutdown. We'll talk about that in just a moment. I mean, do you agree there is a crisis on the southern border?
I wouldn't call it a crisis. In fact, the number of illegal people seeking to come into the United States is at a 45-year low. We also have the lowest historic number of apprehensions, people that we're stopping and arresting at the border, that we've had in 20 years. Do we have a serious problem in Central America? Yes. And it is so serious that these people are risking their lives, pulling up their children, coming to the border and begging for an opportunity to be safe. We can't take them all. We just can't physically do it. And we certainly don't want anybody to come in who's a danger. But it is not a crisis as the president has described it. It is a challenge, and I think a challenge we can meet. We ought to do it on a bipartisan basis.
How much do you think illegal immigration costs the United States taxpayers each year?
Well, it costs us in this regard. Many of the people who are undocumented and living here are off the books, are using phony Social Security numbers. And so they are not paying the taxes that they should, and that costs us. But in terms of the jobs they fill, go around southern Illinois and ask their – we don't have a lot of dairy in southern Illinois. We have it in northern Illinois. Ask the people who run dairy operations what they would do without people who are currently coming to the U.S. in undocumented status. The same thing holds true when it comes to packing houses, meat and poultry processing. There isn't a one of them in the state of Illinois that isn't loaded with people from Africa and from Central America and other places. These are tough jobs. I had one of them when I was in college. I still remember how bad it was. So the point is, when it comes to picking the fruit, when it comes to processing meat and poultry, when it comes to many other things, hospitality industry, these folks are filling jobs that Americans are not looking for. They don't pay that much money. So we've got to get them on the books, which is what my comprehensive bill did with John McCain a few years ago. Get them on the books, get them paying taxes, know who they are, where they are, and make sure they're no threat to us.
I just received a message this morning. Says, Tom, could you, this comes from a federal correctional officer. Says, Tom, could you ask Senator Durbin why it is all right for him to receive his pay while correctional officers at the federal prison have to show up to work? That's simply his question.
75% of federal workers will receive their paychecks this weekend. It includes members of Congress. We passed our appropriation bill. This gentleman, or individual who's contacted you, is in one of the 9 departments that has not been funded. We have voted to fund it. The president has said he just won't sign the bill. We had a unanimous bipartisan vote to fund his salary and others, and will continue to. But that's the reason. We happen to be among the 3/4 of federal workers who are currently being funded.
You know, we were talking about prisons. I was looking over some figures last night, and I saw a Bureau of Prisons report in California that 21% of the inmates are illegal aliens in this country. It ran down this devastating list of assaults and burglaries and rapes. I mean, when you look down this list, it's the quarterly report from the Bureau of Prisons. And that alone causes a lot of people to say, look, 1 in 5 prisoners in California is here in this country illegally. Clearly, this means something's going on that needs to be fixed. And we're really behind the eight ball now under this shutdown. I mean, this show off to force something to happen, because we have fumbled the issue of illegal immigration in this country pretty badly.
We have. We have some 11 million who are undocumented. Now, you look at the overall statistics, they don't commit crimes as frequently as those who are legally in the United States, but there is no excuse for those who do. And I've said, if you're a danger to this country, we're not going to let you in. And if you're here and we catch you and you've done something that's dangerous, no tolerance. You're gone. I mean, I'm not looking to split hairs on this. That's serious. You have forfeited any right to be in this country if you are a danger to the people who live here. But overall, we find the undocumented population is productive and lead legal lives. As much, I should say, they don't commit crimes. Let's put it that way. They're not here in legal status, but they don't commit crimes. You remember, there was a recent case of a fellow who was running a Mexican restaurant in Southern Illinois, beloved by the community. His family, kids were in the schools and all the rest. Turned out he was undocumented and under the law had to be deported. And you should have seen the contacts in my office, emails and letters and phone calls from people in the community saying, wait a minute, this is a good guy. He's running a business. People are working at his business. We like what he's doing, and we know his family. Why are you picking on him? He's not a bad guy. So that's what it comes down to, the case-by-case basis, taking a look. If you're dangerous, you're out. If you're not dangerous, we may give you a chance, not to become citizens, perhaps, but at least to stay here legally.
I know that we're running just over time, but I want to ask you one more quick question. I'm seeing now a report this morning, the Daily Beast, Senator Kamala Harris has decided to run for president, according to this report, and will announce her candidacy on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. This, according to KCB.